Amen. Stand with me if you would, please. Luke chapter 1, verse 26 is where we'll begin. I'd like to start this morning by really just thanking Brother Chamberlain for that song. The message of that song is exactly why we're here this morning. You know, the past couple of weeks and today as well, we're going to be looking at some Bible characters. We looked at Luke, who wrote to Theophilus, and the Bible says that he wrote to this man so that he might be certain of these things. And I think that just proves to us one thing, that anyone is capable of doubting, and even those who maybe seem like they've got everything together, and they're in church three times a week, and they're faithful, and they're all in, and you know, even people like that can experience doubt. Then we talked about some special servants last week, Elizabeth and Zacharias. Zacharias was a priest who 2 weeks out of the year would go to do his duty at the temple, and his only job was to light the incense in the inner courts there and in a place where the Holy of Holies existed. The Bible says that while he was there, an angel came, Gabriel came to him and spoke to him and said, Zacharias, you're going to have a son and his name's going to be John. And you know, Zacharias doubted too. We didn't get to that point last week where we talked about his doubts, but he said, how will I know that this is true? And the Bible says, well, if you're asking for a sign, the angel said, we'll give you one. You won't be able to speak until your son is born. I think after that I would have said, I don't need a sign, I don't need a sign, I don't need a sign. But nevertheless, that's exactly what happened. But you know, we learned something, that God uses people who are committed and faithful, and God uses people who, like Elizabeth and Zacharias, had a faithful marriage. They were righteous, the Bible says. They were obedient to the commandments. They were blameless in the ordinances. And we learned that it's important to give very special detail, even to the small areas of our Christian walk in faith. And you know, all of this really has to do with faith, because the Bible tells us that without faith, it's impossible to please Him. I don't know about you, but I want to please God this morning. The Bible says here that we're introduced to a woman who pleased God with her faith, and we're going to notice this morning, beginning in verse number 26. The Bible teaches here, and in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth. Now, Nazareth was not a pleasant town. It wasn't a clean place. It wasn't a respected place. It was a small place, but yet there was someone there that God wanted to use. And the Bible says that the angel that night in verse 27 spoke to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. The angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored. The Lord is with thee, and blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. The angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. And then Mary said to the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste unto a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, and whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name, and his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He hath holpen his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. And he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. And Mary abode with her about 3 months and returned to her own house. Our Heavenly Father, we pray this morning that you would bless our time together. Lord, as we read this precious story in Scripture, my goodness, what a sensational thing it is. What a special thing it is, God. How wonderful it is to be able to read this story and feel in our hearts the truth that we're not reading a fairy tale. We're reading the true story of how you brought your Son, Jesus Christ, into this world. Lord, I pray that this Christmas season we would not forsake the truth of the reason for the season, and we would not forget that you are the reason for that season. And Lord, the good news of the gospel is what we have left today to present to others as the greatest gift of all. I pray that today, if there's one here who doesn't know Jesus as their personal Savior, Lord, I ask that this morning they would understand in their heart the truth that Jesus wants to save them from their sin and can save them from their sin this very hour. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated this morning. Now, I don't know about you, but as I read through the Scripture with you today, I'm up here this morning reading the Scripture, and I'm getting those, I guess you don't call them goosebumps, gospel bumps at church, I don't know. I mean, it's just, to me, what a special story. What an amazing thing to be able to read of how God performed a miracle, how that something that had never happened before and has never happened since and will never happen again took place in the life of a simple girl named Mary. We hear the song, and we've heard in testimony over this weekend even, the testimony of Christmas in song and the wonderful story of the gospel. And you know, it's not about Mary, and it's not about the shepherds, and it's not about Elizabeth, and it's not about Zacharias, and it's not about Joseph, and it's not about the wise men. It really is all about Jesus Christ today. That's the reason for the season. But God gives us little glimpses into their lives as we see the example they set for us and how they received the news that they were given and how they were convinced of its truthfulness and how they were taught through this process that Jesus would come into the world and the wonderful miracles that happened verse after verse after verse in just the first chapter of Luke. It's worth taking time to pause and to remember during this Christmas season. As I read through here, I see a little bit about a woman named Mary, and I notice just a few things about her that I think are worthy of our notice today, the first of which is this, that Mary was a recipient this morning. Mary was a recipient this morning. I'd like to look, if you would, with me, go over to verse number 46. And I want you to notice Mary's initial reaction when she came to the house of Elizabeth and how Elizabeth, without any prompting, said, "To what cause, to what honor do I give this visit from the mother of my Lord?" Isn't it amazing? Mary didn't even have to tell her what had happened. She knew that she also had been visited by the angel. She understood the Holy Spirit had come upon her and that this virgin who had never known a man was be the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when Mary heard those words, she said these words, verse number 46, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my," what's the next word? Savior. You know what this teaches us about this woman named Mary? It teaches us something that some people don't have correct. It teaches us that she needed saving. And if she needed saving, that made her a sinner. Do you know this morning, the greatest truth I see about all of this is that God used someone who was so imperfect. You say, well, she was blessed and highly favored among women. She was someone who no doubt was godly and holy. Yes, but she was born with the same blood in her veins as Adam. She was born with sinful blood. And the Bible says we don't become sinners when we're born. We're born dead in our trespasses and sins. Remember that verse in the Bible that says you were the children of wrath, but now you're the children of light. You see, what happens when salvation enters into the life of an individual is we go from death to life. And Mary was no different than you and I today in the sense that she was born a sinner. She had sinful blood coursing through her veins. And she was the recipient of the grace of God, just like you have been if you're saved today. And just like you can be if you're not saved today. No one is saved this morning on their own merit. but only on the merit of the grace of God. I'm in no way a Calvinist in the sense that I do not believe that God predestined some to heaven and some to hell, but I will say this morning, that I believe that the grace of God is entirely given and entirely given to us based on the sovereignty of God. You know why that is? Because none of us deserve it. If we deserved it, it wouldn't be grace. Throughout the entire Bible, even in the Old Testament, when the law was pounding into the hearts of the people of Israel and into others as well, even when the law was at its strongest and before Jesus fulfilled that law, we see the grace of God showing up in the lives of people everywhere. We see the grace of God showing up in the life of Zacharias and Elizabeth. They had long since given up on their prayer. They had long since given up on their dream. And yet, because of God's grace, she had a baby. That baby of her old age was John the Baptist, who was to prepare the way for the Messiah. You know, they say that John the Baptist and Jesus, they met on that hillside. But you know, they met a long time before that. They met when Elizabeth and Mary came together, and the Bible says John, that six-month-old baby in the womb of his mother, leaped for joy when he recognized he was in the presence of the Messiah. I'm thankful today that when we know what we know from the Bible teaches us that life begins at conception. We heard a great song yesterday from the Stewart sisters that just says, "Hope has hands." And while we were watching that video display go on, they were singing that, and it was all about the little baby Jesus, and they put little pictures of babies up there as they were going through that song. And you say, well, could that really be the Son of God? Yes, it was the Son of God from the moment that the Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary. The Bible says that the grace of God was so real in that time. When the angel said, "Thou hast found favor with God," he didn't mean that somehow she had earned her way because of sinless perfection. It meant that she was graciously chosen by God because God had a wonderful task for her to fulfill. Some people ask, well, do you believe in the doctrine of election? And I would say that the word is in the Bible. We can't deny its existence. But I believe it goes something like this, to put it on the bottom shelf for us today. If God has elected that we are saved, the devil has voted against that very election. And you cast the tiebreaker. You're the one who decides, will I choose life or will I choose death? Will I choose Christ or will I choose my own way? The Bible says there's only one way to heaven, and it's through the shed blood of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. And you, this morning, you have to choose that for yourself. I love my children with all of my heart. I love them to death. They're amazing little devils. But you know, I can't save my children. They're not going to be saved because they're pastor's kids. We know that's true. They're not going to be saved because I'm saved or because their mother is saved. They're not going to be saved because they're raised in church and they go to Sunday school. They're not even going to be saved because they're good little kids. No, that's not how you get saved. You get saved through Jesus. You get saved because none of us deserve it. And by grace are you saved through faith. This morning we learn from Mary's life and her own testimony. She said, "I rejoice in God my Savior." She needed saving. You need saving. The world needs saving today. If you'll believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, we quoted this verse yesterday, "To as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." You're not just born into salvation. You must believe and receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior today. We learn that Mary was a recipient. We learn, secondly, that Mary was reverent. Look at verse number 29 of our text. This is amazing. "When she saw him," when the angel showed up, "Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women," he said. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. You say, well, why would she be troubled? There is a difference, I'll point out in just a moment, between her reaction and the reaction of Zacharias earlier in the passage. I believe this morning that she was troubled because in her humanity she recognized, this is a big deal. It's not every day that an angel shows up in the middle of the night and says those words to someone. She was troubled because she recognized the gravity of the situation. She was troubled this morning because she understood that the very presence of the angel meant God was getting ready to call her to do something. And though she didn't have all the details at that very moment, she knew that her life was about to change in the moment that the angel showed up at her doorstep. I want to make the point this morning. Mary was probably a very young girl, probably a teenage girl. We know she was young. I think it's amazing how we have made such a mockery out of youth in our society. It wasn't too many years ago that you were a man at 13. It wasn't too many years ago, as in the last century, the word teenager didn't even exist. And yet we've created these sub-levels of youth to where we excuse irresponsibility. We say, oh, you know, they're just teenagers. Can I tell all of our young people here today, God wants to use teenagers? God wants to use young people. The Bible tells us that, you know, Mary didn't have any skit videos playing. And I'm thankful for the humor. Mary didn't get to have a pizza party with her youth group. Mary didn't get to have all the activities. And yet, you know, all the young men and women in the Bible who were used of God, many of them were born into illegitimate relationships, terrible family situations, great poverty. But young people like Mary decided, we're going to serve God. Mary was a serious young person who was committed to being right with the Lord. And I'm going to say this morning, even today in this culture we live in, though it's as evil as it is, young people can have a heart for God. Young people can be committed to God. Young people can surrender their lives to the Lord. The Bible tells us in this passage of Scripture, she was a recipient, she was reverent. Thirdly, I want us to notice, Mary was confident. Mary was confident. This is what I want to get to this morning. Look at verse number 34 as the angel tells her what's going to happen. And she's going to have a baby. She's going to have this child. And thou shalt call his name Jesus. The Bible says that her response was in verse 34, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And she asked in this passage of Scripture, not for a sign. Zechariah said, give me a sign. How shall I know that what you're telling me is really going to happen? And that's how most of us approach the Bible. We want God to prove to us that the Bible is true. We want God to show us, well, this is going to happen because I said it was. Well, how am I going to know? Because he said it was. Because his word is clear. Mary didn't ask for a sign. She didn't say, hey, tell me how I know that you're telling the truth. No, instead she said, how shall this thing be? She asked for clarification, not out of disbelief, but out of amazement. And Elizabeth, I want you to notice in verse number 45, she teaches us that Mary did not doubt God. Look what she said in verse number 45 when she's talking to Mary. She said, and blessed is she that, what's the word? Say it out loud. Believed. Blessed is she that believed. Zacharias over here in the temple, the angel shows up and says, we're going to answer a prayer request for you. Something he had prayed for. And Mary over on this side, she never prayed for this. She never asked for this. And the angel showed up and said, this is what's going to happen. And guess what her response was? Okay, I'd like a little more information, please. I believe you. I believe you. I don't doubt you. What great faith this is. I think a great application we could see from this is that God often uses us directly in proportion to our faith. About 12 months ago now, we decided as a church, we're going to embrace the idea and the theme of by faith. And by faith, God moved us to Faithway Baptist Church. And by faith, God did some great things, and God paid some great bills, and God provided some great funds, and God provided great growth, and none of that would have happened without the faith of God's people. But here's what we have to understand, is that if we want God to use us in an even greater way in 2020 as we go forward for Him, we're going to have to increase our what? Faith. Mary had great faith in what God told her. Mary believed that God was going to do something. Mary believed that everything the angel said was true. She didn't understand how it could be, but she believed that it would be. You know, some of us this morning are still not convinced that the Bible is true. Some of us are still not convinced that God is God. Some of us are not convinced that we're in the right place this morning, or we're listening to the right message this morning, or we're on the right path for our lives this morning, or that we're in the right religion this morning. But we've got to get our faith settled before we can ever please God. God wants to use you in proportion to your faith. Mary said, well, how shall these things be? So the angel said, I'm glad you asked. Verse number 35, the Holy Ghost will do this for you. The Holy Ghost will come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. The Jews would have known exactly what this meant. Mary knew exactly what this meant. To claim to be the Son of God was to claim to be God. And when the angel explained all of this in verse number 37, he followed up with a great statement, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. That is the battle cry of our faith. That is the reason for the season this morning. That is why we gather here today. That's why you've got to leave here today with your faith high and increased and steadfast, because nothing shall be impossible with God. God is not setting out necessarily to prosper us for our benefit, but for His glory. God is not setting out to make us better people or to improve our lifestyle or our quality of life. As a matter of fact, some of God's most useful servants lived in very poor conditions. The Son of God Himself had no place where to lay His head. But God does want to grow your faith. We see that Mary was a recipient. Mary was reverent. Mary was confident. Lastly, this morning, we find in verse number 38, Mary was obedient. Mary was obedient. Verse 38, after all of the angel's messaging, after she heard what would happen and how it would happen, Mary said, behold, the handmaid of thy Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. You know what a handmaid is? Well, in that time, it would have been a slave. Would have been a servant in bondage to her master. And Mary said, God, I'm your servant. You know, Mary opened herself up to a lot of issues once she surrendered to God. We learn in the book of Matthew that Joseph found out Mary was with child. It wasn't long before she said, Joseph, this is what's happened. I'm expecting a baby. You know, I don't see where Joseph had an immediate acceptance to that thought. In modern terms, she was his fiance. They were engaged. The Bible says that Joseph said, well, I don't want to put her away publicly. I don't want to create a spectacle. I'm not interested in embarrassing you, but I'm getting ready to terminate this relationship. And the angel showed up and said, hey, Joseph, I've got this under control. I've got this taken care of. Don't worry about this. This is my path. But you know, society didn't hear what the angel had to say. In those days, a baby born out of wedlock was strictly against the law. It was against the law of God. Women were scorned. Women were pushed away. They were treated with disrespect, and no doubt Mary experienced some of that. No doubt her friends and her family would have shunned and disowned her. You know, often submitting to God and obeying to God means you choose a path that may involve giving up our desires in order to accomplish the desires of God. But on the other side of that, we find that God's desires are where we wanted to be all along. We've got a world that's looking for happiness. Did you know this morning, God is not as interested in your happiness as He is your holiness. God is not so concerned about you being happy and, oh, we just didn't have enough. And, you know, if life were different, everything would have been better. God is more concerned about your holiness than He is your happiness. God is more concerned that you're submitted to Him, that you're obedient to Him, that you're reverent to His call, that you are confident in His word. Mary's not to be elevated above anyone else in humanity because she was the mother of Jesus. Oh, certainly she's to be respected for her commitment. Certainly she's to be loved and blessed. And she said, the generations to come will know my name because of what God has done here. But there were some things that she had to go through. I can't imagine what Mary had to go through standing next to the cross that day. I can't imagine what Mary had to experience seeing the bloody and terrible death that our Savior experienced on that cross. Mary had to go through a lot of hardship, but she was right where God wanted her to be, because it's not about Mary, and it's not about the shepherds, and it's not about the wise men, and it's not about the manger. It's all about Jesus this morning. This puts us in a position to decide where we stand. The life of someone who committed herself to whatever it was that God wanted to put her through. Someone who was young, someone who had a great life ahead of her, no doubt, was chosen by God to be the very mother of the Messiah. What a great honor. But she was committed to Christ and committed to her call in the sense that she would have sacrificed everything just to follow what God had asked her to do. I don't think God would have asked her if she had said no, if he knew that she would have said no, and he knows all things. Could you imagine what it would have been like if Mary had said, I think I'm out. You know, I just don't know if that fits into my life plan. This just isn't everything I had going. And I've got my 5 and 10 year plan going here. It's all good. I've got a retirement and everything's great. As I said, I don't think God would have asked her because he would have known what her answer would be. But could you imagine that? Yet in our case, many times God is saying, I'm seeking for commitment. I'm seeking for someone to write a blank check and hand it to me and say, here you go, God. Whatever you want to write in that margin there, go ahead. Lord, whatever your will is for me, whatever you want me to do, wherever you want me to go, I will perform it, and I will perform it with all of my heart. You know, God doesn't love us anymore because we're more or less committed than others. God doesn't love us more because we're better or worse than others. But God is more pleased when by faith we live a life committed to him. Man, what a testimony. What a story.